Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 5th of April, and I'm recording at 11:04 p.m., and that is British summertime here in London. Well, it was not a great day for stock markets here, that's for sure. They've been looking tired, as I was saying yesterday, and we certainly had some deterioration. Here, let me run through it. For you quickly, starting in the Asia-Pacific region, Japan down 2.5% on average among the indices. China broke the overall declining trend here. The Shanghai comp was up 1.45% here, and the other two Chinese indices were higher, but the Hong Kong indices were both lower by over 1.5% each. Elsewhere, we certainly had declines, mostly over 1%, and India got clipped in here today. It's the biggest downward dynamic that we've seen in India since its low a couple of months ago, and it really, well, it fell over 2%. Here for the Sensex index. And Singapore, weak. Thailand, weak, down nearly 2%. Interestingly, Indonesia bucked the trend, had a tiny gain here today. Now, looking at the European indices, they've just a soft area generally when we get markets weakening here, and some big hits. The biggest now is Italy, down 3%, but Spain over nearly 2.5%, Germany over two and a half. A lot of 2% declines, including the French market and also Sweden. The UK down 1.19%. So, but the EU markets really are falling the most. I wonder why. Now, also turning to North America, or the Americas generally, Wall Street, this closed close to the lows, with the Dow down 0.75 percentage points, the S&P 500 down just over 1%, and the NASDAQ Composite down just under 1%. Canada fell a very modest quarter of a percentage point, and Mexico down a little over one, and we had small rally here. I'm surprised to see that on Brazil. Must have been on political news, which there's been a lot of recently, but I haven't seen what would have caused today's 0.5% plus rally in that Brazil index. Now, looking at the government bond market. Now, first, let me just stay with these stock markets here for a minute. This is a situation where, first, global GDP growth is very slow. People are worried about a number of problems, from Europe to China, and then the oil prices are falling again, commodities generally weakening again, and it's unnerving Europe. Wall Street's been a relative strength standout, bested only by New Zealand, but there's a lot of insider buying that pushes Wall Street up, or buying back of their own shares, I should say. That's the main reason overall. Wall Street's got a good act relative to the other players here overall, with its big lead in technology, with its energy independence when it wants to be energy independent. In other words, if prices start to move higher in the energy field, the U.S. can quickly go energy independent. And when prices are very low, it's happy to buy from other people and hang on to its own resources. Also, the U.S. has by far the largest number of autonomies. Those, of course, are those big multinational corporations which span the globe in some instances. So it has a lot going for it, but the growth is slow. The political situation is, well, weird and not exactly reassuring. And we also have, what was in, lost my train of thought there for a moment. Maybe it'll come back to me. But there's a lot of, the corporate side, very important, the earnings have been drifting down. And that is a concern because corporations have been mostly holding on to their cash and plowing it back into share buybacks. In other words, they're not investing heavily at this stage. We see that and read that a lot. I think it's probably overstated somewhat because certainly people are picking up the new technologies and they're generally cheaper. So it's a virtuous circle in that respect. But summarize it all here. Stock markets are quite nervous, and those bond ratings, that's just, bonds are just discounting more recessions. A number of economies have been in recession or flirting with the recession. Obviously, the resources producers have been in recession. Wall Street's keeping just above that level, and I think it probably will, but there's not much to inspire confidence there, at least not at this stage. And with the stock markets still in what is a favorable seasonal period, that doesn't mean a whole lot after the worst January in history, at least for Wall Street. But it's not far from a break-even level on the year, but lost upside momentum and definitely due for a bit of a pullback. Best case scenario: Wall Street just ranges sideways for the next medium term, next few months at least. And mentioning on those seasonal factors. Starting in May, they are deteriorating once again. I'm just going to take the headset off and have a little cough. Okay, excuse me. Now, looking at the currencies here, the dollar index, which had been drifting down pretty much on a daily basis, it's a fraction higher in here today, 94.59. In the Asia-Pacific region, I noticed that the Indian rupee, which has been strong over the last month or a bit more, but it weakened in here today. It had a small upside key day reversal from just above that 66 rupee level to the U.S. dollar. Chinese renminbi it was actually a fraction firmer here today, but it had steadied yesterday, and so their rallies may be over for at least the short term. And among other currencies here, the euro is steadyish at a 1.1383. That's kind of top of the range here, and the ECB, I think, has almost certainly been aggressive in terms of selling the euro when it gets up over that 114 level. Now, sterling, it's got Brexit concerns, 1.4159, so sterling is really quite soft, and it's testing the lower side around that 140 level. It's bounced from that area for, gosh, it must be at least a couple of years, and may not be able to hold as we move in on that countdown to the Brexit vote near the end of June. And the Australian dollar has weakened a little bit here, with the commodities heading down. It's 0.7541, so its rally also appears to be over. Now, precious metals, which had kind of taken a beating in the last few days, so today they were a little better, for the most part. Palladium did not participate in that. It's 547.85. That's down $4.50. Silver picked up. It's at 15.135. That's up 19 cents. And we have platinum. Disappointing here. Platinum. It's up over $8, nearly $8.50. At just under 9.52, but it was up at 9.67 earlier in the day. And gold is firm at $1,230 and change. That's up nearly $15 here right now. Big question mark is gold just... And the other precious metals, gold, silver, and platinum at any rate, are they just fear stories? In other words, when investors are really frightened, they move up? Or is there more to it than that? Well, in my recollection, precious metal recoveries usually start. It's as the fear factor comes in and pushes them up again, and then people over time find other things that interest them about precious metals, and that is that they are, because they are precious metals, they are they have a currency a value, a hard currency value. I mean, it's not a currency that we use in that extent, but you know what I mean. They've been money for longer than anything else, gold and silver. So they tend to get a little bit of support, and our charts show that people are moving money back into the those tracker funds, which hold gold and silver. So my feeling is that this is at least a medium-term recovery phase in the precious metals. But my goodness, they're choppy in here. And what I've been reluctant to do, in case they were to run a little bit. But too often they move up to the higher side of the range and then just get thumped back down. So they've been a bit of a bonanza for the electronic traders. Not all that good for people who want to buy and hold and run a trend. Of course, I could trade it more actively as well. But enough on that. Anything else here? Crude oil, slightly firmer, but it's not much to crow about here. Brent 37.87. We're in this retracement. You know, we had that V bottom pattern, and I said that's usually followed by what's always followed by a right hand extension. We're in that right hand extension phase. How far we come back will be a real indication of how quickly crude oil will actually recover. Frankly, to get a good recovery, not just back up to 40, but to get back up into the $50-$60 region, we would have to have an agreement involving the Saudis, Iran, and cutback of production. That's going to happen at some stage, but of course they all hate each other, so that's not helping matters that much, is it? But, as I say, it will happen because they're in a lose-lose situation here right now. The WTI was better overall. It's up 89 cents, 36.58. And agricultural commodities, mostly a little bit lower in here today. Industrial metals didn't do much here. The gains were really in gold and silver. Modest gains. Silver, gold did best of all out of that lot. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.